No, we have not.
Okay, then the bill would not apply to you as we just amended it.
No.
I mean, that's what I don't understand. I think that we have, by amending it, taken care of the very concerns that you're here to express. West Lynn cannot use it because we amended the bill to specify it is for properties whose owners have signed such consents to annexation. So we've taken care of the concerns that you were here for today.
But does the bill not also state that the city can initiate the annexation and name an entire district that will be annexed?
No, this is only dealing with areas that are not hostile annexations. This is just the areas, so that your case will not apply. The only way West Lynn can do that is if people involved agree and sign a consent.
I guess we should look at the revisions then.
I think Senator Cohen has not had an opportunity to look at the Dash 5 amendments, and I'm sure she'd be very anxious to do so.
Okay, well, I believe that those were drafted to address the very type of concern that you're dealing with, and I think they've done it adequately.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a motion on the floor to send the bill as amended to the floor with repass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Pardon?
Mr. Chair, can
yes.
I ask him a question? Are you really want to testify that you want to send a message to the city of West Lynn about the annexation situation, or to us to send to the city of West Lynn? The bill doesn't affect your situation.
If you're going to talk, come up next to the microphone.
Could I ask a question, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Could someone, if you're going to come up, please, are you substantially different than what we just heard? If not, we don't need to hear the same message again, if you don't mind. We're all in favor of hearing from our constituents and other interested parties.
I'll try and pass on a different message. I guess I'm not clear on
name, please.
I'm sorry. My name is Bill Coran. I'm a resident in Clackamas County, just outside the city limits of West Lynn. I'm here representing myself and my wife. I guess one point, whether what we have to say is relevant or not, since we are interested in this bill and how it may affect us, we would like the opportunity to see the amendments and have the opportunity to comment with the amendments. We heard about this hearing just 48 hours ago and planned to be here, and we did not have an opportunity to see the amendments, and I think we should have the opportunity to testify after having seen and understood the amendments to be sure that they do not affect us.
Mr. Chair, with or without the amendment, the bill does not apply to your situation at all.
Without the amendments, I believe it does.
No.
Okay.
We can have an honest disagreement.
All right, sorry.
Do you have copies of the amendments?
I picked up copies when I walked in here.
Okay. Do you have copies?
I was handed these. I wasn't aware they. Yeah, I do. Amendments to House Bill 3498?
Dash 5.
Dash. Did they say dash 5 on?
They have a 5 on the number at the top of the corner of the page.
I don't.
HB 3498-A5.
Thank you. Let me address specifically what is happening in our area, and we can disagree again whether it affects us or not. What we see happening in West Lynn is they plan to develop a very, very large area, put in the infrastructure, et cetera, and take possibly great risk, financial risk, to current residents and residents of the region in doing so. And the way we see this legislation impacting that is by allowing for delayed annexation. They can require the future property owners to come into the city as much as 10 years hence. And what will happen in our region is they will have consent for a certain number of property owners. The rest of us that are outside of the city will be island annexed. This legislation, I think, still then, by allowing this delay of 10 years, gives, as Senator Cohen implied, a signal to the city that they can make these financial investments in the infrastructure, the sewer and water, et cetera, and expect to get some payback in up to 10 years. And because of the potential for island annexation in our area, I think that still applies. And I think that there is great financial risk in doing so because there's no guarantee that the area, the region will develop as planned, as Senator Cohen also said, that they had specific problems with that in Colorado.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Bunn?
If as we amended it today, it means that if you've got 100 people and 99 vote to be annexed, that one cannot be taken in with this provision, then are you okay on it?
Yes, but that one can still be island annexed if the other 99 go in.
But not 10 years later. I mean, they would have to force the whole thing in within the 1 year. That one could not
and
be taken.
And that's current law.
Right. That one individual could not have this provision used against them.
So the one individual can then block the whole thing from being delayed 10 years?
Can block the provision of this ordinance or this statute, yes.
That sounds great then, if I understand you the way I think I do.
Okay. And Mr. Chair, I think it would be helpful when it's done to have the City of Eugene representative just come confirm that no individual can be brought in using this 10-year provision without their consent. Now, that's whatever property owner it was at the time of consent. If they sell later, that's still binding, though.
Okay. I still have reservations because I think...
City of Eugene's representative wanted to move up and make a statement to that effect.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Terry Smith, City of Eugene. The discussion that's gone and the interpretation of existing law is absolutely correct. This bill gives no new authorities to cities to annex folks against their will. It does not change that in any way whatsoever, with or without the amendment. With the amendments, it is absolutely clear that non-consenting property owners may not be grouped with consenting property owners and brought in under this process. You're still in the double majority process if you have non-consenting property owners in any case.
I think the complaint or the concern here is still valid, though, thinking about it, because the concern is the investment, how big an area can be involved, how much investment the city can make that would place the current residents of a region at risk. And even if the if the majority wants to place great risk on themselves, then that can happen. But if the a huge area is goes for this 10-year deferred annexation, and the investment is made in sewer and water, et cetera, and the region does not develop as planned, that burden of paying for that sewer and water and other infrastructure will be on those residents. And by allowing it to be delayed up to 10 years, it allows a city to make a much bigger investment and in the hopes that things will develop in a certain schedule. If things were required to happen in 1 year, as is current statute, that incentive for trying to develop a huge area is not there. They obviously would not be able to develop, you know, several hundred acres in 1 year.
Can I share with you what's been going on in my area in Northeast Portland? This bill wasn't even in existence when everything was happening in my area of Northeast Portland that's been happening. And it's the same thing that's happening in your area in West Lynn. And this bill will not change any of that. It has absolutely...
I'm obviously not making myself clear.
Yes, you are. We're just trying to... No.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
At least with this bill, you're dealing with a situation where the elected representatives of the city have made an agreement with a voluntary property owner on an agreement that says this can happen in 10 years. You don't have to be sucked into the city in 1 year. We can give some time, which may be beneficial to both. So it really prevents a lot of people from being pulled into the city any sooner than has to happen. For those that don't want to come into the city, and they say it's going to happen eventually, but let's make a friendly agreement that it'll be 10 years down the road. this just cooperates in that kind of...
You misunderstand me, though. I'm not against annexation. I don't mind being in the city. I'm not trying to stay out of the city. What I am opposed to is the financial risk of having a huge development occur that will be paid for sometime over the next 10 years, because if things do not go as planned, they will not get paid for over the next 10 years. And is that a risk we're opposed to? It's not annexation. I'm not opposed to being a part of the city of Westland. Let somebody from the city of Westland speak. He's got more concerns than I do, perhaps.
Yeah, I have a different point of view. My name's Robert Thomas. I'm a resident of the city of Westland. And regardless of whether you agree with me or not, I'd like to be permitted to express what I came here to say, and then maybe you could comment on it afterwards. And I feel that the push for this bill is primarily connected with this idea of extending delayed annexation. And I think this is symptomatic of a problem that is an Oregon problem, and that it relates very seriously to a view that you can deal with what's already wrong with Oregon in the way of financing development by trying to make an end run that, in a sense, does not face the basic problem. And the basic problem, as I see it, is that in all developments in Oregon, now, Senator Cohn did say that if development goes through as planned over the 10-year period, theoretically, it should pay for itself. But it only pays for certain things, regardless of that statement. It doesn't pay for schools. It doesn't pay for increased water supply and treatment sources or increased sewage disposal and treatment sources. It doesn't pay for the increased needs for parks, libraries, or police and fire. It pays only for what developers are permitted to pay for in Oregon, which is a very limited payment toward the total costs of the impacts of their developments. And this bill, in my opinion, is a seductive enticement to cities to extend themselves out into the future on the belief that they can somehow avoid having to go to the voters for an increase in the tax base. And if everything works out all right, down the line in 10 years, they'll get a huge increase in the tax base, supposedly, to be sufficient to pay for the services of this large, unprecedented annexation. But what it does in actuality is to put in place a financing scheme that uses the full faith and credit of the city residents as the fallback guys to pay for this if development happens to collapse, or if Oregon's economy for some reason happened to go sour and this weren't able to take place. We as city residents, under the way it's envisioned to sell bonds and how to guarantee these bonds, if the system development charges aren't sufficient to pay these off, we, the city residents, are the goats to pick up the bill. And this kind of bill could lead to another Colorado situation. And I think if the people who are here lobbying and promoting the adoption of such bills were instead facing the real problem in Oregon of developers not being required to pay the full impacts of the off-site costs of their developments. And I've been inquiring in other municipalities in California, and belatedly they have finally come to their senses and have implemented policies and laws which safeguard their citizens, of the taxpayers of their cities, from becoming liable for these types of things. And I was just in contact with the city of Irvine today, and I intend to get in contact with more. But I believe that the basic problem here is in Oregon is connected with cities wanting to expand, wanting to increase their domain and their employees, and this entices them into a situation that says, now we can do what we've always wanted to do, and that is to expand on the basis of a projected growth, and we want to keep this growth going as a means of keeping this whole scenario intact. And this, but this scenario can fall apart at any time, and I think that that's where we really have to look, as not to look at this as just some innocuous change in a 1 year to a 10 year. This has implications that are far-reaching, and I think the reason that this is being changed is it's symptomatic of a Band-Aid approach, or to a, it leaves, if you were to run an analogy, it leaves the quarterback and his whole team vulnerable to being sacked way back behind the line. And the people who have to pick up the tab for this can be the cities. It's like having a credit card, and you say, well, this guy, like a teenager says, my dad's going to pay for this, so we'll load up on this, and we'll expect him to foot the bill. And in this case, the cities become dead. And that's what I'm here to protest, that I think this bill is just symptomatic of a problem that Oregon hasn't faced up to, and that I think it can be solved, and I think these laws can be changed. And if the people were spending their efforts rather than doing minor sort of tortuous end runs around problems, instead of devoting their efforts to this kind of bill, if they devote it to facing the real problem in Oregon, and that is the unpaid for costs of development that impinge upon people who don't benefit from the development. Everyone has a right to sell their land and to develop it, but does he have the right to tell me I must pay for it, you know?
I'm sorry, but we're just about out of time, and system development charges is really another topic that I hope we don't spend the next 5 minutes on.
I would like to show you one thing that the city of Westland thinks this bill impacts us, okay? And I'd like to show that.
It doesn't matter to me what the city of Westland thinks. They're wrong. And it is very clear on the record from us, from Legislative Council, that this bill does not change that situation one iota.
Infallible judgment?
My judgment is always fallible, thank God. I wouldn't want it to be infallible. I am just going by legal advice, legal counsel advice. I do not believe that this changes the situation that you're dealing with whatsoever. Growth is going to happen in Westland. It's one of the fastest growing places in the world. Maybe we're getting tired of growth in Oregon. Some of us are. We're going to have to deal with it, Mr. Chair, whether or not we have this bill or not. But it doesn't change the situation.
I think it does. It changes the situation.
Well, we have an honest disagreement.
With regard to risk and liability greatly.
Okay. Yeah. Close the hearing. Now,
Mr. Chair,
any motions?
I'd move, have we adopted the amendment?
Yes.
Okay, I'd move the bill as amended to the floor with a due pass.
Senator Bunn moves House Bill 3498 to the floor with a due pass, as amended with a due pass recommendation. Discussion?
Mr. Chair, just briefly, somebody who grew up on a farm near a city and does not like annexation, there is no way I'm going to support bills to allow hostile annexations to expand. I don't believe this does. I think it does the opposite, and I support it.
Any other explanations or comments? Call the roll, please.
Senator Bunn?
Aye.
Senator Cease?
Aye.
Senator Grinsky? Senator Kitzhaber? Senator Smith?
Aye.
Senator Springer? Mr. Chair?
Aye. Motion carried. Would you like to carry the bill?
Yes.
Are we adjourned, Mr. Chair?
We are adjourned.